You might have seen, possibly an actual advertisement, or perhaps just some of the comment on it, the Greggs advert that is on screen currently. It turned out to some to be funny, and it appeared, and there were some chuckles, to others to be controversial, to some to be offensive, to some perhaps just a storm in a teacup. But Greggs decided that for their advertising campaign, they would airbrush out Jesus from a traditional nativity scene and replace it with a sausage roll. I decided when I looked at this after a while, I thought, well, perhaps maybe it's correct. Maybe it's right. The only thing is that Greggs, in their planning of this, they missed out the caption that it should be. And perhaps there is, an appropriate biblical caption that should have gone with this advertising campaign. Something like this. For their God is their stomach and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. I think if they'd done that, perhaps we could have said it's okay. But perhaps it raises for us the question for a moment about what Christmas is all about. Ironically, it was actually an advertising campaign for the Greggs Advent calendar. Apparently, Christmas Eve, you get a £5 voucher to spend in Greggs. And maybe the advert just pokes us a little bit to ask, well, is food worthy of worship? But what if we airbrush out Jesus from the nativity scene? I mean, a sausage roll replacing Jesus is something in some ways just quite comic, isn't it? I did read an article about this who said, one of the commentators on it was saying that a sausage roll is a comic thing. I'm not quite sure what he thinks is funny, but anyway, apparently it can be considered just comic. But is there a reality to what Greggs is doing for us? What do we place in our manger scene? What is it that we worship? And by that I mean, what is it that is the most important thing in our lives? What do we place as the thing that is of most importance? Because really that's the thing that we worship. The thing that whatever it is we will be directed by. The thing that's of primary importance. And if that's food, then well, we've replaced Jesus in the manger scene with a sausage roll. But I set to thinking about this and I thought, well, there must be some alternatives too. And I sat around at home with obviously too much time on my hands and decided, well, I'd try and create my own kind of alternative manger scenes. And I thought, well, maybe it could be like this. Maybe we could replace Jesus with money. That actually perhaps maybe that's the most important thing. That's what motivates us, the kind of primary importance in our lives. Well, of course, there's a reason that when people have appraisals that they're linked to money. Because money can so often be a motivating thing. And I think it's true whether you've got a little or a lot of money that actually it become the thing of primary importance. And I thought, well, what should be the caption then if we're going to replace Jesus with money instead? And I thought, well, maybe it's this, you cannot serve both God and money, that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. But of course, if I were to walk down the high street and take a little survey and ask people, well, what's the most important thing to you? I think I'd get a pretty high response rate of people telling me that friends and family were the most important thing in their lives. What's the most important thing to you? Well, it's friends and family. And of course, particularly as we come to Christmas, it's a time, isn't it, where we have a real focus on those things, about spending time with family, spending time with our friends. Or unless, of course, you're in the household where the family turn up and you kind of can't wait for them to leave and go on. But I won't talk about that too much because your family might be here. And of course, these are good things. And I thought, well, what would be my caption then if it's friends and family that we're replacing Jesus with? Well, Jesus said this: anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And of course, then I started by thinking, well, what else might we replace Jesus in the manger scene? And I thought, well, maybe for some it's Simon Cowell. I think he's more comic than a sausage roll, but anyway. Did you know it's something like 24% of 5 to 8-year-olds, when surveyed about what Christmas celebrates, said that it's Simon Cowell's birthday? I'll say no more. I thought my best caption I could come up with this, if you have replaced Jesus with Simon Cowell, is simply this: be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says in Romans chapter 12. And I thought, well, maybe what about, there we go. That one. What about phones, iPhones or whatever you've got, smartphones, technology? Perhaps the thing that for some of us certainly is the thing that we maybe touch most in the day, look at most in the day, spend most of our time with, maybe. Never out of your pocket. What's the thing that's of primary importance? And what does it say about the thing that you look at the most? What if things and possessions and technology and stuff becomes the thing that's actually, in reality, the most important thing in our lives? Jesus said, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And what if it's this? What if it's just looking at ourselves? What if it's ourselves, the thing that's perhaps most important to us? Our own happiness, our own success, our own achievement. Whatever we want for ourselves. That Christmas will be about you, about what you receive. Even perhaps about the satisfaction that you get from providing for other people, from giving the best gifts, from providing that very special and memorable time. James said, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." And of course, all these things can be good. All of these things can be things that are good to us, except maybe Simon Cowell. Even a sausage roll from Greg's as part of a balanced diet can be a good thing, he says, as someone who works a short walk away from a Greg's. But the real question is, what part do they play in our lives? Are they things that help or hinder us? And in reality, what is it that you worship? What's in your manger scene? Perhaps we can thank Greg's in some way, because they've modernised the nativity scene for us. They've shown us that this isn't just something that's about 2,000 years ago, but a question we can ask of ourselves today. Have we got something much better than a sausage roll that we can place in the nativity scene? That actually, with Jesus in the nativity scene, it tells us of the God who came to be with us. Someone truly worthy of our worship. We just heard those words from John chapter 14, which tells us a whole load about the God who wants to be with us. We heard these words from verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." That Jesus would come and would take them, would come and take his disciples, those who follow him, to be with him. He offers a hope for the future. A hope that he will come again and that we will be with him for eternity. Advent, far from being a time to count down and enjoy some tasty treats from Greg's, Advent is meant to be a countdown, not just to Christmas itself, but a reminder that we're counting down to when Jesus will come again. As we lead in towards celebrating his coming, it should point us forwards to remembering that we're in this countdown to when he'll come again. We don't know dates and times, but one day we're told he will return. In Revelation 21, we read a picture of just how amazing that will be, that there will be joy and life and healing and freedom. It offers hope for us today where we may be struggling or grieving or suffering. Jesus in the manger offers us a hope that he will come again. In John chapter 14, Jesus also offers peace. "Peace I leave with you." That we're not abandoned in this time while he's gone and we wait for him to return, but we're offered his peace. Throughout this year, our motto verse has been Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I remember last year, around this time, when I was sending off that verse to a graphic designer to put together a design for us, and he emailed back and said, "Those are really apt words for the things that are going on in the world at the moment." And even then, he could see the kind of turmoil that the world was in. And it seems like over the past year, those are words that have continued to be apt, to not be anxious about anything. As tensions have escalated, as we've seen terrible tragedies unfold, as we face what seems like increasing uncertainty in the world around us. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, the one who's able to offer us peace, not the peace of nothing happening. So often I think when we hear songs at this time of year and we hear about peace, we think that means, of course, the peace of the end of wars, of there being no conflicts. But the reality is, of course, in this world there is trouble and there will be trouble. The peace that Jesus offers is a peace that means despite what we face, despite what happens in the world, we need not fear. That we can place a confident trust in him. How can we not be afraid? Well, he goes on and talks about the advocate in verse 16, that he would send his Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't be alone, but that God would be with us. Jesus in the manger points us to the God who continues to be with us by his Holy Spirit, that his presence is with us now. He says that he will live with you, that he will be in you. With Jesus in the manger, if we place our trust in him, if we worship him as Lord, we're told that he will come and live in us by his Holy Spirit. That in fact, God with us isn't just something to sing at a carol service. Emmanuel isn't just a word to say around this time of year. But in fact, God says he'll come and live in us, be with us for life, for eternity. His presence guarantees us for what is to come, gives us hope, and brings us peace in whatever we face. And for me, when I have hope for the future, when I have peace in whatever situation I face, then actually I'm able to know joy. When I have a peace about whatever may be going on, when I have a hope for what's going to come in the future, there's a joy that cannot be disturbed. And with all of this hope, peace, presence, and joy that's on offer, perhaps we see how ridiculous what Greggs have to offer us is. Why on earth would you want to swap what's in the manger, Jesus Christ, God with us, for a sausage roll? But perhaps it reminds us that we do have a choice. We can choose what will be most important in our lives. We can choose where our priorities will be. That actually we do have a choice in the way that we live for what will be in your manger. That what your Christmas will be about. Will it be about the God who came to be with us? Because in him we can find hope. We can find peace. We can find joy. And those are things, to me, that are worth celebrating. Those are things that can bring a joy to this Christmas that nothing else can. God with us, Jesus in the manger, can offer something that simply nothing else in the world can bring. What will your Christmas be about? What will you place in the manger?